यार सागरा एदसे करुणा कोरी तो है वैष्णव ठाकुर दिया पद छाया शोधो हे आमाया तुम्हारा चरण धोरी छाया वेद दुमी छाया दोष शोधे छाया गुण देह दासे छाया वेग दुमी छाया सत्संग देहो हे आमारे मुशेचे संगेराचे देहो हे ये काकिया मां नहीं पाया बल हरि नाम संकीर्तने तुम्हें कृपा करी श्रद्धा बिंदु दिया देह कृष्ण नाम धाने कृष्ण से तुमार कृष्ण जीते पारो तुम्हारा शक्ति आछे कृष्ण से तुम्हारा कृष्ण जीते पारो तुम्हारा हमें तो कंगाल कृष्ण कृष्ण बली धाये तावा पाचे पाचे आमी तो कंगाल बली धाये तावा वैष्णव ठाकुर दयार सागर एदासे करुणा कोरी वैष्णव ठाकुर एदासे करुणा कोरी दासे करुणा हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा आचार्य ठाकुर दया आचार्य ठाकुर आचार्य ठाकुर दया आचार्य ठाकुर प्रभु पदा शिला प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा शिल प्रभु पदा नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయా చక్షుః ఉన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః నమావోం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఫర్ అవర్ సండే నెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ క్లాస్. సో ఉపదేశామృత వి ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు ద టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 3 టుడే. We finished Atyahara Prayasa, the previous verse. Now we proceed to the third verse now. That was about those principles which are detrimental to bhakti or which damage our bhakti. Now we are going to learn about what aids our bhakti, which means what are the six principles that act as a support which will actually be favorable to enhancing our bhakti creeper. So let us recite the shloka now. उत्साह निश्चयात् धैर्यात् तत्तत् कर्म प्रवर्तनात् संगत्यागात् सतो वृत्तेः षड्भिर्भक्तिः प्रसिद्ध्यति. See, I have put a picture of a grihastha family with two children. Especially I put this picture because both husband wife are smiling happily. That means they are very enthusiastic in the devotional service. Because oftentimes people think that, how can I be enthusiastic? Our child is a growing child. Here they don't have one, they have two. Which means in the path of devotional service, anybody with any amount of responsibility can still be enthusiastic. So, yeah, please read it. Six favorable principles for pure devotional service. Number one.
Number one, being enthusiastic. Endeavoring with confidence, being patient, acting according to regulative principles such as hearing, chanting and remembering Lord Krishna, abandoning the association of non-devotees and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service.
Yes, these are the six things. Today, I am devoting time only to the first one, enthusiastic. You know why? because Prabhupada gives a good solid introduction in the beginning. That will take some time. But once we complete this enthusiastic today, other things will go two or three, we can complete it fast in the coming weeks. But this is a very important one. Yeah, please read it.
Maintaining one's existence by appropriate means and cultivating bhakti are two essential qualities for devotees.
Yeah. Actually, we all have to certainly devote some time for maintaining our existence. Whether one is a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. Like we say, a healthy mind and a healthy body. So we have to keep our body healthy. We have to keep our mind healthy. We have already discussed these things before. Like for example, the food, clothing, shelter, and sufficient rest, adequate exercise, and keeping oneself healthy. This is like a base on which one can have the sensual strength, mental power, and vigor and vitality. Then we can engage in devotional service. But often it is seen that in the name of maintaining the basic requirements, lot of time goes in the lives of people because they don't stop with just maintaining the body and soul together. Therefore, the last item in the previous shloka was laulyam. Laulyam means greed. That reminds me of a story of Tolstoy. You know, there was one boy who went to a zamindar and begged for some land. Zamindar was a very, very, very well-to-do man. He came out of his bungalow and told the boy, "You see, the vast fields, you see, thousands of acres belong to me. So here is my watchman. Now you can begin running from here. Go as long as you wish, but then evening you should return back by 5 o'clock. And then whatever distance you have covered, I have posted servants in every field. So you can go and keep giving them your attendance, that you have reached up to that particular field. And then when you come back in the evening, you can take the whole land, will be yours." So the boy was like a dumbfound. "Really? Such a vast land I am going to get? I will become like another zamindar like him." So then the boy started running. And like if he has to come back by 5, morning 9 o'clock he started. So at least by 1 o'clock he should start returning. So it became 1, it became 2. He became very greedy. He thought that I will catch up a little more land up to 3 o'clock. And then 3 to 5 I will come extremely fast running back. So up to 3 o'clock he ran ahead. At 3 he was very exhausted. But then he has to return back, isn't it? So he took a U-turn and then when he ran back, he couldn't reach even half the distance. Now guess what happened to him? He collapsed, foaming in the mouth, practically half dead. He had to be rushed to the hospital because of his intense greed, laulyam. So, in the same manner, sometimes people think that I will make my material life pakka, perfect, after which I will take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. But then they go too far in their material life. First they try one job, then they try a better job, a bigger job, more paying job, then the job abroad. In this way, people go for various distances in their material settlement. And then, depending on how much their mind is demanding, get me this, get me that, accordingly they have to work too hard to fetch so much money to satisfy the mental demands. So in this way, there are people who have got lost in devotional service. They have gone too far in material life and it became difficult for them to return back. So, therefore, intelligence actually means how to fulfill your basic desires in your material life, basic needs. Clearly draw a line between need and want, necessity versus luxury. Draw a line and then fulfill the necessities and then focus on bhakti very nicely. Otherwise, the greed can take over people's lives. Yeah.
Attitudes favorable for cultivating bhakti.
So this is the same shloka now. See, if you see, the first two lines are talking about attitudes. No? The previous verse also we saw, if you see this Atyahara Prayasa Prajalpa Niyama Graha Janasangasya Lavulyam Cha, Shadvir Bhakti Vinashiti, if you see that verse, first the blunder that happens is Janasanga. We get bad association of some people who are greedy people, materialistic people, uninterested in spiritual life. There are some people like that. So when we get their Janasanga, associate with them, sometimes you get such colleagues in the office. Sometimes you have such friends in your friend circle. And when you look at them, you feel that, hey, this person is, going headlong in material life. And look at me in the name of spiritual life, I think I am missing something. Actually, you are not missing anything in spiritual life. The only thing you are missing is suffering. That's the only thing you are missing. But it's a mental trick which makes us think that that materialistic friend is having this, he is having that, she is having this. So we compare ourselves. So Janasanga, it's very polluting. Just like that monkey who associated with the crocodile. He developed a foolish desire to go in the water. Fortunately, was saved. Otherwise, he would be drowned in the water. Similarly, we develop wrong desires by Janasanga. And the result of Janasanga is Lavulyam. Janasangascha Lavulyam cha. They will put some greed in your heart and go away. And then this greed will be... Just like Kaikeyi, she was very peaceful. She did Janasanga with whom? Mantara. And Mantara put some greed in her heart and she went away. Now I want my son to become the king. I want to send away Ram to forest. Similarly, we want to keep Krishna far away in the forest. And we develop a desire to enjoy our own materialistic selfish plans. So Janasanga brings forth Lavulyam. And then when Lavulyam comes, then what happens? Your desire comes to do Atyahara. Atyahara means accumulating more than what we need. That desire comes. When the Atyahara desire comes, then to fulfill that Atyahara desire, we do prayas. We do prayas. Prayas means what? Extreme endeavor. Karma prayas, jnana prayas, yoga prayas. We do. And the prayas becomes aggravated by prajalpa. Because when you go to the office, people talk about two things. They talk about money and woman. Very common talk in the offices. So, then we develop a greed also. The prajalpa aggravates our prayas. We slog hard by looking at others. We make unhealthy comparisons. So, atyahara prayas is a prajalpo. And then in spiritual life, we do niyama agraha. Niyama agraha means not ready to accept all the rules. We sleep late at night. We wake up late in the morning. We are not accepting the rules and regulations. We don't go to temple. We don't associate with devotees. We don't take spiritual life seriously. Things are going to the niyama agraha. Niyama agraha means eager to accept rules, but in a ritualistic fashion, not with the heart, not with the desire to grow in spiritual life, but some ritrivaj, some rituals we do in the name of religion, but we don't bring in our heart. So in this way, all the six items, if you see, they started with Janasanga, you can see that. Similarly, here the first two lines talk about favorable attitudes. And third line talks about how do we conduct our life. The first, what are the favorable attitudes? Utsahan, Nishchaya, Dhairya, and Tattat Karma Pravartanat. Four things about which we will be discussing. These are the favorable qualities for cultivating bhakti. And after cultivating these qualities, then naturally how does the devotee conduct his life? Sangatyaga, Satovritti, two of them. That means we conduct ourselves by keeping away from the gunas. Sangatyaga means rajaguna, tamaguna, especially habits. We give up. See, the word sangha, janasangha comes there and sangatyagat comes here. Both are appearing very similar. There, janasangha means associating with materialistic minded people or non-devotees who aggravate your material desires. That is called Janasanga. And here Sangatyagat is bad habits, which are Rajoguna habits, Tamoguna habits. Those habits, like Tamoguna means, you know, Nidra Alasya Pramad. That means Nidra means sleeping, oversleep. Alasya means laziness. Pramad means madness arising from smoking, drinking and such kinds of bad habits. And Rajoguna bad habits means habits like excessive competitive drive, over ambition, or unhealthy competition, greed, or violence, desire to harm others, this kind of thing also. And so Sangha and Trishna, thirst for honor and material attachments, all those things come in Rajoguna. So many, many habits arise. They have to be given up, Sangatyagats and Satovritti in following. So we will hear about all of them gradually. Yeah, read it. Utsaha, enthusiasm.
Eagerness to perform the limbs of sadhana which enhance bhakti.
Yeah. Actually, we have to be very enthusiastic for performing our spiritual activities. Actually, in our conditioned stage, our mind is very enthusiastic for materialistic activities. And for spiritual activities, there is a little bit of lethargy. Like, for example, to make a beginning in chanting Hare Krishna, or rising early in the morning, sleeping early in the night. So these are good activities, but we are little hesitant to, you know, pick up those good habits. Therefore, he is saying we need utsaha to do that. Okay. Okay, read that.
Nishchaya, conviction, signifies firm faith. Dharya, not slackening one's execution of the limbs of bhakti, even when there is delay in obtaining the goal.
That means to keep patience. Yeah.
Tattat karma pavartanat. Fully renounce one's material enjoyment and endeavoring exclusively to attain the Supreme Lord.
Yeah. So let us see each of them now. So here, in the beginning, Prabhupada explains all these questions. Read the questions.
What is not bhakti?
These are foundational concepts of bhakti. Prabhupada, first of all, lays this foundation before even entering into the six items. Yeah. Yes.
What is bhakti? How to perform bhakti? Why to perform bhakti? Who can perform bhakti? Where can one perform bhakti?
Do you know why Prabhupada spent time on this? Because, you know, first vision, then action, it is said. Like you are walking in the road, you look at the road below you. You know, if there is a pit, you know, your eyes first to see it. And then you will not put your foot ahead. You may walk from the side, isn't it? If you don't see first, you are walking straight and then you fall into a manhole. And then you realize, my Lord, how did I fall into this? Because we didn't see it. So, that's what Prabhupada wants us to first make it very clear for us. What is Bhakti Yoga? What is devotional service? Let us be very clear about it. Sometimes certain things appear to be Bhakti, but they are not. So, what is not Bhakti? Okay, and then in performance of bhakti also people have different understanding. Some people say, oh, I am feeling, there was an old lady who came to a temple, some devotee told her to chant Hare Krishna. She said, 24 hours name is going on in my heart. She said, what is the need of mala for me? You know, I am breathing the holy name, she was telling. Anyway, devotee said, anyway you are breathing 24 hours holy name, why don't you, while breathing the holy name, count also, huh? Then she took the mala. Then after 2-3 months when she came, she understood that her so-called bhakti was simply cheating. Now even to do one mala, she had a big struggle. So therefore, Prabhupada is explaining how to perform bhakti and why to perform bhakti. Who can perform? What is the qualification eligibility? And which is the place we can perform bhakti? All are nicely explained by Prabhupada. Yeah. What is not bhakti? Let us begin with that. Yeah.
Not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy.
One time, when we were in Yatra, there was one lady, fat lady. She saw a lot of bhaktas, devotees, thousands of devotees. So she wanted to show that she is a great devotee. When our kirtan was going on, suddenly she fell on the ground and started rolling. My spiritual master saw her and just turned the face away. And he turned face, we all also turned our face away. Everybody. Then she saw her, nobody is looking at me. She got up and went away. Because her drama did not work. Her idea was what? When I am falling on the ground and rolling, people will come and touch my feet and take dust from my feet. And everybody will praise me as a great devotee. So in this way, this is called imaginative ecstasy that she was showing. It's not acceptable. There are people who pretend to be having tears because some people are emotional by nature. When they watch a movie, some tragedy scene comes in the movie, they'll cry tears there also. When they come in front of God also, they will have tears. Any problem comes in their life, they got poor marks in exam, they will have tears. For everything they have tears. So therefore in front of God, if tears comes, they should not imagine that maybe I am a pure devotee because I am getting tears. It's just imaginative ecstasy. It's not a real bhakti. And also he is saying, not a matter of sentimental speculation, he says. What is a speculation? Speculation actually means trying to imagine something about God, like one girl told Prabhupada, Swamiji, you told us to chant Hare Krishna. Whenever I chant Hare Krishna, you know, I see a red light. Prabhupada said, continue chanting Hare Krishna, that light will be gone. He said. So, in this way, Prabhupada understood she is just imagining. Something like that. So, there are people who speculate about God. They think of God to be some impersonal light. Or they think of, you know, they say just to make some concentric circles and meditate on that. If you are seeing concentric circles, you will only get a headache after watching it for a prolonged period of time. So, actually bhakti is not a matter of sentimental speculation. There are so many people speculating about different things, even claiming it to be bhakti. You know, people say that God came in my dream, you know, he told this to me, he told that to me. But actually, if you see their practical lifestyle, it's a life of sense gratification. They're watching so many movies. They're decorating themselves with so much artificial cosmetics and everything. And they're stupid in sense gratification. And they suddenly say, God spoke to me. There are people like that. They're just speculating about God. And such people even oftentimes make some human being into God also. They worship some ordinary human being as God. There are people like that. So therefore Prabhupada is saying that this kind of so-called bhakti of sentimental speculation cannot be accepted as bhakti. There are people displaying bhakti in varieties of ways. There are people who sing Mirabai songs. Mirabai was a pure devotee. But there are people who imagine themselves, I am like Radha, and you know, I am singing for Krishna. You know, I am... Krishna is my lover. They just imagine many things like that. Actually, they are thinking of Krishna and Gopi's relationship to be something like a boy-girl relationship. It's far from their imagination. Actually, therefore, it's very important that we cultivate the path of bhakti very scientifically. Because there are many lovebirds who come to even Radha Krishna temple. Boy and girl may come, they may think, oh, Radha and Krishna are lovers, so they will bless us so that our love also will continue. There are people like that who come. Foolishly, they have no idea of Radha and Krishna, how they are one. Radha Krishna ye katanu du ye dehadari anyonya vela sakare aswada nakari. It is said, Shakti Shakti matyor abedaha. Krishna is Shaktiman, Radha and Shakti. Shakti Shaktiman, there is no difference. They are one person divided into two. They don't know. They don't know the Siddhanta. They don't know the philosophy. And also, Radha and Krishna both are spiritual personalities. Their bodies are Vishuddha Sattva. It is not even Sattva or Rajas or Tamas. So, not knowing proper facts about the Lord, they imagine so many false things, foolish things. Like boys and girls do Dandiyaras as a bhakti program. They say, it is a Janmashtami, so boys and girls in our college, we are putting dandiyaras. It is simply sentimental speculation. Actually, they do dandiyaras and they become intimate with some boy or girl, and then they do some wrong things, and then they abort the child. All nonsensical things in the name of religion people do. So these are not accepted as bhakti. So these are just imaginative ecstasy and sentimental speculation, Prabhupada is saying. And then he is saying it's not idle meditation. Read further.
Idle meditation meant for those without information of devotional service. Only benefit it checks distracting materialistic activities.
Like you see these three monkeys which Gandhi had on his table. He said, don't see bad, don't hear bad things, don't speak bad things. That's all right. This is only negating the negative. But what about engagement in the positive? They are not doing it. They are just shutting up their senses. And that is called idle meditation. Like these people, these kids are just sitting and closing the eyes. Simply closing eyes, you will go to sleep. One will not be able to do anything. Silence is good for someone who speaks nonsense. Like our Pythagoras said, speak fitly or be silent, he said. If you can speak something meaningful, valuable, helpful, beneficial, something sweet, something based on the scriptures, then one can speak. Otherwise, people can keep quiet. Instead of people blah, 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 talking about so many, dirty things of the world, there are so many people talking. Like you see that one fellow is sitting in front of the morning sun silently. These fellows, for them to be silent is good, because they don't know anything about the personality of Godhead. He is thinking that I want to negate the world and go to silent shanti, shanti, shanti. For them it may be good. But that is not bhakti all about. Bhakti is not ideal meditation, Prabhupada says. It is positive utilization of the senses. We will come to that. Yeah.
What is bhakti? Devotional service. It refers to cultivation and practical activity.
See, Hanuman is doing practical activity. He is getting the mountain, Sanjeevani mountain, for curing the Lakshman's, becoming unconscious. So you can see that here you see King Prataprudra is doing a practical activity, taking a broomstick in the hand and sweeping in front of Jagannath's cot. So in this way, it's a practical activity. Read further.
This not only aids the nonsensical mundane activities, but it also engages one in meaningful devotional activities.
That is positive devotional activities. Yeah. Here is the definition of Rupa Goswami, famous definition of Uttama Bhakti. Read it. Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyana abhritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruttama.
Uttam Bhakti or unalloyed devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, involves the rendering of devotional service in a way that is favorable to the Lord. This devotional service should be free from any extraneous motive and devoid of fruitive karma, impersonal jnana and all other selfish desires.
Yeah. So, that is Prahlad's devotional service. And Hanuman's devotional service. Sudama's devotional service. So, we will see. Actually, the pure devotion service definition I discussed elaborately during the Bhavataranga, Nectar Devotion discussions. But here I am showing you briefly, because it's a very important definition. This is the shloka, Anya Vilashita Shunyam. Because if we don't have a clear-cut direction on what is bhakti, then we are likely to be wasting our time doing something, imagining it to be bhakti. Therefore, it's very important to properly know the definition. Yeah, it's the same verse here. We read it actually. It has two characteristics. It's called Swarupa Lakshana Tatastha Lakshana. Half the verse is Swarupa, other half is Tatastha. We will see what it is. If you want to know somebody is doing Shuddha Bhakti, these are the characteristics. See, these Yeah, these two. Anukulyena, Krishna, Anushilanam. These three words are used. And they are very fine words. I will request you to pay attention to each of these words. And if you know them well, then our life would be, practice of Krishna consciousness would be very, very fruitful. And tatastha means anya bilashita shunyam and jnana karma dhyanavritam. First two lines is called secondary qualities. And the next two lines, anukulyena Krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama, that is primary quality. Sarupa lakshana. That means, you know, the primary is very vital. Secondary is secondary, but the primary is very vital. Anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. Anukulyena. You see, it is favorable. Here, you see, Yashoda is pleasing Krishna. Krishna is very pleased with his devotee, Yashoda. And not only pleasing Krishna is important, the intention to please Krishna is also very important. This will be very clear eventually. Okay, Krishna, when you say, it's not only Krishna alone, it means any of the Dashavataras can also be worshipped. Similarly, Krishna comes as Rama or Narayana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are all Vishnu Tattvas. So it can be other Vishnu Tattvas also. And when we say Krishna, Krishna is never alone. He is always surrounded by his paraphernalia of his devotees. So therefore, we can also worship Srimati Radharani, who is Krishna's devotee. And we can also worship all the Acharyas and Guru Parampara. They are also very reverentially worshipable by all of us. That means Krishna means his paraphernalia also can be worshipped. Similarly, Krishna's dress, Krishna's garland, Krishna's flute, Krishna's sandals, and a scent offered to Krishna, flower offered to Krishna, all this is worshipable by the devotees. They are all called a paraphernalia of Krishna. Now, this is actually the definition of Krishna. Krishna means Krishna and his energies. But at the same time, there is a overly inclusive definition. There are some impersonalists who say everything is God. You know, you can worship any tree or worship any stone. You know, you can worship anything in this world. That is not acceptable by devotees. Therefore, I was telling you, what is the meaning of Krishna? Krishna means Krishna, his expansions and his incarnations on Vishnu Tattva, they are all worshipable. And his paraphernalia, namely his pure devotees, they are all worshipable. And his things that are connected to Krishna directly. So that these are all our worshipable objects, okay? Yeah. Now that is Krishna, and next word is Anukulyena. Yeah, Anukulya. For example, here you see in the picture, Mother Yashoda is running after Krishna. She is chasing Krishna with a stick. In the left hand, you see, she is holding a stick as if she is going to beat him. With a stick weapon. But still, Krishna accepts Yashoda. Yashoda's love. He sees that my mother is simply a personification of love. You know, her desire to beat me or bind me, like Yashoda is also binding Krishna with a rope, isn't it? Still it is considered anukul bhakti. On the other hand, you find, you know, enemies like Kalayavana or Jarasandha, they carried weapons in their hands and chased after Krishna. Yashoda is also chasing. Now Kalayavana, Jarasandha, they are also chasing. That is considered pratikul or unfavorable. And why? We will come to see. One more slide we will see. See here, Chanur Mushtik. They are trying to fight with Krishna Balram. And when Chanur and Mushtik, they punched Krishna Balram, Krishna was laughing. Ha 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 ha. He was enjoying it very well. When he was getting punches. So he was getting pleasure. Was he not getting pleased? But although he was getting pleased, still the intention of Chanur Mushtik was to kill Krishna. It was not to please Krishna. So therefore it is considered pratikul. Pratikul means unfavorable for devotional service. Here Yashoda is binding Krishna, you see. And she wanted to go to the kitchen and attend to milk. When she left baby Krishna also on the ground, and when she went to the kitchen, Krishna cried. Here she is binding Krishna. Look at Krishna's face. Oh, mother is binding now. I can't go for stealing butter. He is thinking like that. So, in both the cases, Yashoda binding Krishna, or Yashoda putting Krishna down and then going to kitchen. Krishna appears to be angry, but that is considered anukul, favorable bhakti. Why? Because Yashoda is going to the kitchen to attend to the milk, which is also ultimately meant for Krishna's service. Similarly, here Yashoda is binding Krishna so that he will not run too far as to live with the monkeys. Huh? So she wants to protect Krishna. Her intention in making Krishna angry is also to ultimately serve Krishna. Therefore, it is considered anukul. Whereas Chandra Mushtik wanted to kill Krishna, the previous verse, Kalyavana, Jarasandha, they also wanted to kill Krishna. So their intention was very impure intention. Although it gave pleasure to Krishna. So it incidentally gave pleasure to Krishna, not intentionally gave pleasure. It incidentally gave pleasure to Krishna. So incidentally giving is not enough. Intentionally one should give pleasure to Krishna. Like Yashoda. That is what is making it anukulyena. Correct, no? Say for example, you went to Vrindavan Yatra. Somebody purchased a sonbabdi in a packet from the shop. And then they kept it along with the luggage in the station. They kept it on this thing, seat. And then now, when the train came, suddenly they took the luggage and they went up in the train. And then you are sitting there. You have to go by another train. And after 3 hours or so, you get a call from that person. He's asking you, Prabhu, did you see there is an Sonbabadi packet on the seat? And you say, yes, Prabhu, it is here. Oh, 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 I left it in the station. I forgot, Prabhu, I am going to South India. And he's asking you, what are you doing? You are saying, Prabhu, I am going to North India. He's saying, oh, North, really? Is there anybody else going to South? Is there any other train? You say, Prabhuji, now there is no more train, one last train that is going to North. Oh, ho. Then there is no way I can get my Sonbabdi box back. And then he says, okay, Prabhu, you only take it now. Instead of leaving it in the station, just like that, you take it, he says. So now, did he intend to give that box to you or he incidentally gave you?
Incidentally.
So therefore, there is no intention to please you. There was no other alternative, so he gave you. So therefore, on the other hand, you see, he gives you a call and says, Prabhu, I purchased 2 boxes. One I have taken with me and 1 box I have left it in the station. I want to actually take it and give you in the hand. And unfortunately, train suddenly came, I left it. Did you find it? He says, yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu, that is for you. You can see I have written your name. Did he say, oh, wow, it's for me. Thank you, Prabhu. Hari bol. That is intentionally giving you. Correct, no? So ask yourself, which one will please you? If somebody intentionally gave you or incidentally gave you? Intentionally, yeah. So Krishna is also a person like you and me. He is also a person. So if somebody intends to please him, that touches his heart. That is anukul. That is not pratikul. Similarly, Krishna knows very well somebody is intending to kill Krishna, he knows. Like for example, Indra, Indra's duty is to give rains, everybody knows. But then when Vijayabhasa has performed Govardhan Puja, then he gave heavy rains. That rain was intended to kill the cows, kill the Vijayabhasis. That was the intention. It was not like a normal pour of rain. Krishna looked at the sky and understood, hey, this is not a rain, this is hailstorm. One drop is like one elephant, which is intended to kill the Vijayabhasis and the cows. So the angry demigod, Indra, is showing his wrath by beating Vijayabhasis with his reins. Krishna immediately understood. So in this world, the intentions eventually become evident. So the intention becomes very important. Why we do what we do? Then it can be anukul or pratikul. So Krishna, anukulyena, shilanam. Okay, now anu is explained now. Anushilanam is explained. Anu has 2 meanings. One is following our Guru Parampara Acharyas. That is Anu. And Anu also means Anudinam, daily. Anu means continuously, consistently, not once in a while. Bhakti is not occasional business. Some people do seasonal bhakti. Seasonal bhakti means in Janmashtami time they go to Krishna temple. Vijayadashami time they go to Durga temple. Different times they go to different temples. Seasonally, so Janmashtami time, big crowd comes. 1 lakh people, 2 lakh people come to temples. But after that they go away. They don't regularly come to temple. They don't take to the mala and chant regularly. They don't read Gita Bhagavatam regularly. They don't come every Sunday to attend the program regularly. That is Anu. And Shilanam means behavior with our body, mind and words. We will see that. So two meanings. Please read it.
First, the practical word.
The
particular word used by Srila Rupa Goswami in this connection is Anushilana or cultivation by following the procedure.
Predecessor Acharyas. That is Anu, we call it. Anugamana. Anu means following the Acharyas. And then second,
as soon as we say cultivation, we must refer to the activity. Without activity, consciousness alone cannot help us.
Somebody may say, oh, I have bhakti bhav for Krishna in my heart. You cannot see it, Prabhu. I have bhav. Some people say like that. Like imagine a father tells a son or daughter, oh, I am so pleased that you joined an engineering college or a medical college. I really love you, my son. I really love you, my daughter. Very nice. Study well. Only thing is I cannot send you the monthly expenditure. I cannot help you with money for the books. I cannot help you with a scooter. I can't give you any charges for your monthly rent or accommodation. I can't give you for your monthly food or anything. But I am very fond of you. I love you, my children, very much. If somebody says, they will say, Papa, what is this? You say you love us and you are putting us in a college without you giving money for all this. How will we study the course? Similarly, if a man marries a woman, naturally he has to express his love for her by giving her sari, ornaments, give her a house, give her a car, facilities, isn't it? So love means it has to be expressed externally by rendering some service. Similarly, you say, I am a son or a daughter. How I love my mother, father so much. Oh, I cry tears, Prabhu, when I think about my mother, father. And the mother is sick. And she says, Beta, can you please take me to hospital? And son says, no, Mama, no. You know, it is 10 kilometers away. How can I go? Why don't you take a cab and go yourself? I'll just book a cab for you. You know, mother will say, I can take a cab, but if somebody accompanies me, it will be good. I am very sick. Somebody says, no, my 3 hours will be wasted if I come with you. Then what kind of love is that? Love, when we say, love means sacrifice. Love means selflessness. Love means service. So, that is the meaning of this activity. There has to be some activity. So, we have to follow the acharyas. They will teach us what activities to do. And then we should do those activities. That is Anushilanam. See here. Yeah, as you see here, there are two words used here, pravritti and nivritti. There are certain activities we should do with our body, mind, words, and there are certain activities we should refrain or avoid doing with body, mind, words. So, for example, glorifying Krishna is called vocal pravritti. Not doing prajalpa is called vocal nivritti. Performing puja for the Lord, deity worship, that is bodily pravritti. We are using the body, isn't it? You know, avoiding smoking, drinking, liquor, that is bodily nivritti, like that. Chanting Hare Krishna is mental pravritti. And avoiding thinking about maya, that is mental nivritti. Like that we should know what to do and what to avoid. And then amongst the activities, so we can, like you are going to, somebody is bringing flowers to the temple to offer to Lord, patram or pushpam, phalam, toyam. That means they are using their body to walk to the temple with their leg, to offer the flower. So bodily pravritti. Like that, yeah. So now you got an idea about Anushilanam. Please read it.
If he is not continuously engaged in the cultivation of the devotional service, it can't be called
uttama bhakti. It is not pure devotional service.
Yeah.
Anushilanam. Someone might come into the temple and the deity might inspire him and he might put some money in the box just to please the deity, or he might want to sing some bhajans just to please the deity, and then he goes out and does some
everything else. That means he's smoking, drinking, watching movie. Yeah. So that's not pure devotional service. It has to be a systematic cultivation, Prabhupada is saying. Because, you know, once in a blue moon, somebody suddenly gets bhakti bhav. You know, they say, today is Ekadashi, so I'll go to the temple and take the harmonium and sing, you know, melodious kirtan for the Lord. It's good, but that is not Shuddha Bhakti. Because, you know, sometimes he is very pious and religious. Other times he becomes a religious. He is doing his own wrong things. He's breaking the four regs. I mean, meat-eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, it's not acceptable. So bhakti has to be a systematic, ongoing, consistent cultivation. Yeah, please read it. Anukulyana.
Krishna should get the pleasure from it. Devotee's attitude towards Krishna should be favorable.
That is intention. Should be favorable, yeah.
Krishna and various and explanations.
Expansion. Yeah, Krishna and various expansions and Krishna's paraphernalia. So these are all
and Krishna's pure devotees. Anushilanam. Constant or activity following predecessor acharyas.
Yes, the word Anu has two meanings, following the previous acharyas and consistently doing. And there has to be a practical activity. Bhakti is not just some bhav in the heart. And therefore Prabhupada translated the word bhakti as devotional service. He didn't call it as devotion because he knows very well. In India many people say, I have the bhav. Okay, you have bhav, then you express your bhav. A mother, for example, shows her bhav for the child. How? By breastfeeding the child, giving milk. Then after that, you know, even if the child gets up at the dead of the night, you know, mother is ready to change the diaper, you know, clean up the place. You know, she is rendering service to the child. Her love for the child is not a theory. It's practical. Same with Krishna's bhakti also. Okay? So, Anukulyena, Krishna, Anushilanam. All the three we have learned now. Yeah. Now we will learn about Tata selection. Yeah, please read it. Anya.
Anya, other. Abhilash, desires for bhukti, mukti, siddhi. Ita, motive, desire for survival, eating, etc. Shunyam,
yeah, for
zero.
Example, eating, prasad, or evacuating, or desire for survival in dangers. So these are called Ita. These motives are all right. They are not considered opposed to Shuddha Bhakti. Yeah.
Divide of all material desires.
Yeah, that's the meaning of Anya Bilashta Shunya. So I have shown you Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi. Please read it. Bhukti.
Bhukti. Generally, there are three classes of living entities afflicted with selfish desire. These are the Bhukti Kami, Mukti Kami and Siddhi Kami. Bhukti Kami refers to those ordinary persons who desires money and everything money can buy. Such a primitive mentality is based on the desire to enjoy money, sex and social prestige.
You all know the famous verse. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya apahrita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhauna vidhiyate. You want samadhi in the path of bhakti? You want to fix your intelligence in Krishna bhakti and become purified very quickly? Two things, he says, are great enemies to that, bhoga and aishwarya. Bhoga means a strong attraction for, you know, opposite sex. And Aishwarya means big things, you know, liking to go to a big shopping mall, using a big car, having big fame, big influence, big post. So everything big. That is Aishwarya. Attractive to, you know, trying to become popular. So Bhoga Aishwarya, Prasaktana. I mean, somebody is attached to these two things. Taya apahrita chetasam. then that person is carried away by the current of material wave in this world. So therefore, he is saying that this is bhuktikam. Bhuktikam means earthly pleasures or heavenly pleasures. So they are all called as bhuktikam, especially for attachment to land, attachment to woman, attachment to money, and attachment to name, fame, glory, attachment to one's birthplace, attachment to one's nation, attachment to one's caste, attachment to Prahlad Maharaj includes even attachment to furniture at home. And he's saying attachment even to one's animals, he says, like you may have some cows and bulls and dogs, puppy dogs. Attachment to all these things are also included in bhuktikam. Yeah.
Mukti. When a living being becomes frustrated with his hallucination, he takes to the path of speculative philosophy and analytically tries to track down the source of illusion.
See, that fellow has completed so many books, still he has not come to conclusion. Yes.
Such a person is called Muktikami because he desires to negate material illusion and merge into an impersonal spiritual state, free from anxiety. The Muktikami is also motivated by personal desire, although the desire is somewhat more elevated.
Yeah, these people have woken up. These people, they are frustrated with the material world. They think, oh, if I accumulate all these things, they only increase my anxiety. So their goal is to become free from anxiety without surrendering to God. They want to, on their own, do some meditation and negate. They say desire is the root cause of all evil, so don't desire. If you engage in this world with your senses, you get entangled. So don't engage, become aloof. So by the speculation, they negate the negativity of this world and try to keep themselves aloof and trying to get mukti or moksha, as they call it. And then siddhi.
Similarly, the siddhikami or the mystic yogi who desires the spectacular powers of mystic yoga, such as
levitating, like this fellow is jumping above the ground, you see, sitting in a padmasana. And that fellow is walking on water. So they want to perform these kind of feats because these are very attractive to the public. They gain cheap popularity. And they can become lighter, they can become heavier, they can do many things like that. So they develop this kind of desire to gain some powers and gain control over material nature. Scientists are also trying to do similar things, Prabhupada says. So anima, mahima, alagima, prapti, ishita, vashita, kama, shaita, many ashtasiddhis are there. That causes restlessness of the mind. These three people get stuck in the material world, Prabhupada says. Krishna bhakta nishkama atayeva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. Yeah.
Translation. Because the devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruitive workers desire material enjoyment. Jnanis desire liberation and yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful.
Like that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Rupa Goswami. Yeah. If one has any
personal desire, whether it be material, philosophical or mystic, he will be ashanta or ultimately frustrated because he will see himself as the center object of satisfaction. This egocentric concept is in itself illusory and therefore ultimately frustrating.
Yeah, karmis are thinking how I can enjoy my body, mind and senses. Jnanis are thinking how I can get rid of this material, commodities and then go to Brahman and I can become peaceful. And yogis are thinking, how I can get 8 siddhis and show off to people? I. All the three fellows are thinking about I, me, mine. Whereas Krishna Bhakta is thinking, how can I make Krishna happy? How I can serve Krishna? A devotee of the Lord is Nishkami. He doesn't have any personal desire. Some people may say, Prabhu, Krishna's devotees also say, go back to Godhead. Is it not a personal desire? No. Actually, a devotee wanting to go back to Godhead is like an orphan boy wanting to go back to his parents. That's not a desire. That's constitutional position, natural position. The devotee's desire to be in his, like a child can say, is crying, saying that, please kindly put me back touch with my mother and father. So if you say, hey, why are you wanting to be with mother and father? Be away. Be orphan only always. Will you say that? So therefore, a devotee's desire to be back to Godhead is for meeting his lovable Lord and to serve him. But Even advanced devotees don't even desire that. Like Lord Chaitanya says, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishware bhavata bhakti rakhaito ki tvayi. Is telling, my dear Lord, I do not want na dhanam na janam. I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want beautiful women, I don't want any popularity. He's saying, Mama Janmani Janmanishwari, birth after birth, I simply want to love you and serve you. Huh? I know that aspiration, he says. Actually, there are many, many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam for the Shuddha Bhakti. Many, many verses. Nanaka Prishtam, Nachaparameshtyam, Nasarvabhavam, Narasadhipatyam, Na Yoga Siddhir Apunar Bhavam Vasamanjasatva Virahayakankshi. Vritrasura is praying, my dear Lord, I don't want Dhruvaloka, I don't want Satyaloka, I don't want to Svargoloka, I don't want Bhuloka, I don't want Pathalaloka, and I don't want any position anywhere in this world. I simply want only one thing. I want to experience loving separation from you, and I simply want to serve you, remembering you, that's all. Like this, there are many, many prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is one of the Vritrasura's prayers. You can read many like this. And that is the devotee. With that type of attitude in the heart, we should render devotional service. See, here, this Maharaja is singing so joyfully. You know, here some man wearing jeans and t-shirt is inspired, you see. Because people are magnetically pulled into such kirtans which are sung by devotees. Similarly, the ladies are singing and attracting many newcomers also, because when devotees practice in devotion service purely, it is very magnetic. It attracts a lot of people. See, bhogi means bhuktikami. Bhuktikami or siddhikami. And tyagi means mokshakami or muktikami. So bhakta neither goes to the two extremes, nor goes to tyagi extreme or bhogi. Tyagi means he gives up everything and goes to Himalayas. Whereas bhogi means he takes everything and enjoys. So both are doing wrong thing, you see. If you find a purse in the street, you can either enjoy it, take the money and think that, oh, I got thousands of rupees. Or you don't even touch it out of fear that it's not my money. That is tyagi. But bhakta means you will take the purse and find out the I card and give it to the owner of the purse. Similarly, you see, Prabhupada is accepting the owner of everything, which is Krishna. And he is going and, you know, glorifying Krishna. Bhakta, he simply wants to serve the Lord. You know. See, our original love has become spoiled by its conversion to lust. Lust leads to anger and illusion and tamaguna and suffering. Whereas we can transform again the lust back into love, the positive energy, by using our body, mind and words. We said about, you know, pravritti and nivritti. We said, na anukulyena Krishna anushelanam. Then you come to Sattvaguna and then love of God, eternal bliss. Yeah, see, here are activities which devotees do. Worshipping Krishna, distributing prasadam, distributing Prabhupada books, doing bhajan, sankirtan, children are singing also. So in this way, we can actually become free from material desires by replacing those material desires with spiritual activities, cultivating spiritual desires. And what is jnana karma dhyana? It is very important to know this. Like jnana, first of all, karma is explained. Yeah. So here in the picture you see, on the top right corner you find a picture of King Driga giving cows to Brahmana. So one Brahmana, he gave 1,000 cows, and the Brahmana was about to leave. The second Brahmana came, he gave him another 1,000 cows. But one cow from the first Brahmana's group came to second Brahmana's group and joined. And the first Brahman became angry. He told the king, hey, my cow has gone into the second herd which you gave to other Brahman. King said, don't worry about it, I'll give you 1,000 more. Brahmana said, no, I want that cow only, he said. Then he told the second Brahman, hey, please kindly take that cow and give it back to the first Brahman, it belongs to him. He said, I will give you 1,000. That Brahman said, no, you have already given me, I can't give it back. Once you give something to Brahmana, you should not ask back. So now both the Brahmanas became unhappy with the king. And the next life he became a lizard. You see? He was actually doing karma, fruitive activities. And then with the desire to get punya. So, but next life he became a lizard. One good thing King Driga did, he gave some donation for building some Krishna temple. Therefore, he was born as a lizard in Dwarka. And Yadus came to play. They saw the lizard. They showed it to Krishna. So as soon as Krishna touched the lizard's body, immediately King Driga came out. He got liberated. So why I told you this story, sometimes fruitive activities are ritualistic activities, karmakanda as we call it, like yajna, dana, tapa. If there are some flaws in doing them, it can lead to such risks like this. Even after giving so much charity, we became a lizard. You can see that. So, that's for Dan, the example of King Driga is given. Tapa, Ravana did a lot of tapasya, but then when Brahma came, he asked for benediction to torture so many people. Ultimately, he was doomed to destruction. Similarly, Yajna was done by Naimisharanya sages, but they were not satisfied. When they met Suta Goswami, they told, our faces are becoming blackish, and the result is not very certain. You know, whether we'll get heaven or not, we don't know. And we actually want to know the ultimate goal of life. So then Suta Goswami taught Srimad Bhagavatam. And they became excited after hearing Bhagavatam. They said, Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat Pradhano Mahattamaikanta Parayanasya Hare Rudaram Charitam Vishuddham Shushrushatam No Vitano Tu Vidvan. They are saying that, oh great Suta Goswami, you know, you are a Bhagavata Pradhan, and we are Shushrushatam, very eager to hear from you. And Lord Hari is very Udaram, he is very merciful. So the Katha you are speaking is so nectarian. They said, enough of our yajna in which we are blackening our faces with a carbon suit. Now after hearing Bhagavatam, it's like Amritam. We are very confident of the result. Even now we are feeling the result of the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our hearts are becoming cleansed. And our ears are delighting in hearing the Katha. And we are also able to experience Krishna's mercy in this Katha. And we are becoming more and more confident in this path of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, they gave up the ritualistic activity of Yajna. So in this way, Yajna, Dana, Tapa, these are all ritualistic activities. Sarvopadivinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Yes.
One should be free from all material designations and by Krishna consciousness must be cleansed of all material contamination. He should be restored to his pure identity in which he engages his senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses.
Krishna is called Rishikesh and our senses are called Rishik. If you are engaging the senses in the master of senses, Rishikesh, Sevanam, plus we should be free from the upadis. What is the meaning of that? I want to say a few words about Sarvopadivinirmuktam. There is one verse in Bhagavatam which says, Yasyatma buddhir kunape tridhatuke swadi kalatradishubhoma ijjadi yatirta buddhi salile nakarhichit janeshu abhigneshu sayeva gokaraha. This verse talks about all bodily upadis. Atma buddhi means thinking oneself to be man or a woman, this external body. This is only a, what do you call it, covering over the soul. So this is one upadhi. Thinking I am male, I am female, like that. Yes, yatma buddhir. Kunape, tridhatuke. It's made up of kafavata pita, considering it to be myself. That is called dehatma buddhi or bodily consciousness. Then identifying oneself with the caste in which one is born. These are my relatives, my friends, my family, my caste. That is second identification. It's called Moha and Mahamoha, we call it. Then, Swadhi Kalatradishu Bhauma Ijadi. Bhauma Ijadi means attachment to one's birthplace. People, when they go to their native place, they feel some special affinity for that sand, for that place, because I was born here. People think like that. Attachment. And then, going to holy places only for sightseeing. And not for hearing from saintly people. That is also bodily consciousness, he says. Some people do Charadam Yatra, just go around and watch this, watch that, click photos and come back. but not hearing from any saintly person. That is also a kind of bodily attachment. So, on the contrary, one should not bother about what ashrama or varna I belong to. I am simply Krishna Das. Like, look at this family. Husband, wife, children. All are sitting and all wearing tilak and everybody is thinking I am Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi. This is stripped off of all the material identification. One doesn't think in terms of my caste, my creed, my color, my nationality, my gender. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya told a similar verse. Naham vipro nacha narapadir napi vaishyo nashudro naham varini nacha grihapadir novana stoyatirva kintu prudyan nikila paramananda purnam ritabdher gopi bartuppada kamalayor dasa dasa anudasaha. He said, my dear Lord, I am not a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. I am not brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. All I know about me is, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis. In this way, he identified himself as not even Krishna Das, Bhakta Das. He said, I am Bhakta Das. And these external coverings I don't care about. So that is also Shuddha Bhakti definition. Anavritam, uncovered by mental speculation, fruitive activities. Purpose is, if you mix up karma with bhakti or jnana with bhakti, then it is contaminated, he says. We simply have to think how to satisfy Krishna, he says. That's all. And there may be some situations like, you know, you may be having a desire to evacuate, go to washroom, or we may have a desire to, we may be very hungry, we want to eat, or there is a life threat, like in the case of Gajendra. All these situations somebody may call, oh Krishna, save me. And that is not considered material desire. That is all right. Shuddha Bhakti is not affected by such desires. That's the point mentioned here. Like Draupadi wanting to save herself from Manabhanga. Krishna supplied her unlimited sari. So this is also not considered outside the purview of Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti, she continued to have Shuddha Bhakti even though she had a desire for security and safety. Okay, read the second para here.
But if we think that if I don't do some material pious activities, then I cannot achieve bhakti or some bad will come to me, that is against the principles of pure devotional service.
On the other hand, read the first para.
A devotee may do some things which is not strictly included in the category of devotional service out of consideration for public sentiment so that the people don't become hostile to the devotees and thus make it harder for the devotees to preach.
One time in Australia, devotees were doing a ratyatra. Suddenly, one of the buildings, top, there was a fire there and people are screaming from the window and fire broke out. And people could not come out of the office. So they wanted to jump out, but if they would jump out and fall on the road, they would break their heads and die. So one devotee was very intelligent. He took out the canopy cloth of the Jagannath's rath cart. From the top he removed it. And then four devotees cut four sides of the cloth. And they told the people, you jump. Everybody jumped and not a single person died. Everybody's life was saved and next day, it came in the paper that Hare Krishna saved the life of all these people who faced the fire accident. It came as headlines and the news was reached to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was also very happy to know that. And Prabhupada said, sometimes devotees may support such activities like this, although it is not directly Krishna consciousness. It is actually preaching, great preaching, because when people see that devotees are not unconscious or insensitive or careless, they are actually, if there should there be an opportunity, immediately devotees will be willing to extend help. People will feel. So therefore, Prabhupada says that although it is not Shuddha Bhakti, this type of activity, for the preaching sake, sometimes a devotee may do. At the same time, if a devotee thinks, if I don't do some material pious activity, then I cannot achieve bhakti. Or some bad will come to me if he fears. Like some people say, Prabhu, if I don't worship demigods, will they be angry on me? Or Prabhuji, my astrological chart says this. So, Some people say, can I wear this Neela money? Can I wear that money, this money? In order to offset that graha, Rahu is looking at me, Ketu is looking at me. So people go for many extraneous things in their body in order to tackle some graha looking at them. Actually, when we become Krishna devotee, you know, Krishna says that, you know, I will offer you protection personally. He says that. Sarvadharman Paritya Vamekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Mahashuchaka. Do not fear, he says. Kaunte Pratijanehi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. So then if one's faith in Navagrahas is more than one's faith in Krishna, then that means the karma adhyana avritam. Avritam has come. Similarly, one thinks that, you know, I have to do, like some people get into many ritualistic things like Shraddha and everything so much, where they don't do anything which is directly devotional service. So Shraddha can be done in a way by which the departed ancestor can be given Shuddha Bhakti. We can also call the devotees and do kirtan at home, feed them prasad, recite Srimad Bhagavatam. One can do like that. So, in this way, yeah, so we explained the Sarupan Tata selection. Yeah, we'll read it, actually.
Actually, Krishna consciousness can be based simply on hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. Described in the Srimad Bhagavatam are 9 different processes, besides which everything done is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Thus, one should always be guarding against fall downs.
Main thing is Shravanam Kirtanam, Prabhupada says, yes. Yeah, to achieve success in self-realization or God-realization, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends Sthane Sthita. Just remain in whatever position you are, Grihastha, Brahmana, Brahmachari, whatever. Shrutikatam, Tanuvan, Manabhi. Just try to hear about Krishna. And try to employ your body, words and mind in Krishna's service. That's all he says. Hear about Krishna, get inspired, and then develop a desire to serve him, and then use body, mind, words to serve him. That's all. And when one has heard very nicely, then they can also speak about Krishna. Then you can't remain without speaking. The result of Shravanam is Kirtanam, like that he says. So this is another way. You can render physical services like, you know, wash the pots, clean the floor, you know, decorate the deities. That's one type of service. Another type of service is preaching. You can reach out the message to other people. And then how to perform bhakti? You all know this famous Prahlada's verse, Navida Bhakti, you know, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. The picture shows all the 9 activities. So, these are the 9 different activities. For each of them, there are examples. For hearing, Parikshit Maharaj. For chanting glories of Krishna, Shukadeva Goswami. Remembering the Lord Prahlad. Serving the Lord's Lord of the Lakshmi. Worshipping the deity Archanam Prithu. And offering obeisances unto the Lord Akrura. Offering prayers. Acting as Lord's servant Hanuman. Acting as friends, making friends with the Lord. That is Arjuna, Uddhava. Surrendering oneself fully, Bali Maharaj. And who did all the 9? Ambarish Maharaj. He did all the 9. These are all activities of bhakti, practical activities, which I told you, everybody should do some. If you want to show your love for Krishna, these are the practical activities you can show. I read it. Importance of hearing Shravanam, the first of the 9, yeah.
The first step in acquiring transcendental knowledge. There is a need to hear from an authorized person, from one who knows the truth.
Yeah, this is a famous verse, Tadvidhi Pranipatana, correct? So, we have to actually hear the knowledge in Guru Parampara, very important. Otherwise, we should not read this book and that book, any kind of book. So, one has to hear. And these are all verses. 2 verses. One is Tadvidhi Pranipatana, this is Tadvijnanartham. Read the one below, the method.
The method of submissively receiving transcendental knowledge is not merely based on mental speculation.
Like you see, Krishna Balarama going to the ashram of Sandipani Muni, rendering service, inquiring from the Guru and hearing from him. It is not just a speculation. Speculation will not work. Here, similarly, here you see Prabhupada is rendering service to his Guru by going to the West and preaching. Similarly, you see below devotees who are Prabhupada's followers. Now they are also trying to fulfill the order of Prabhupada to preach and distribute books and doing kirtans. You see, in this way a disciple should hear from Guru and practically engage body, mind, words in service to fulfill the order of Guru. That is how one can advance. Yeah. Now why do we perform bhakti? Because it is said, Brahmanda Brahmita Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beej. This is said that it is very rare to get bhakti. It is said, Sudurlabha Prashantatma Kotishapi Mahamune. Out of crore jnanis and yogis, one is a bhakta, it is said. Bhakti is extremely rare. In fact, Krishna tells Pandavas actually, Muktim Dadati Karichitsmana Bhakti Yogam. I give even moksha, siddhi, bhukti, everything I give. But bhakti, I don't give very easily. Why? Because if I give bhakti to anybody, I become his slave. Like I gave bhakti to Arjuna, now I have to become Parsarthi now. I gave bhakti to Yashoda, now I have to be bound by her and become Damodar. You see? So Krishna doesn't give bhakti very easily. But if somebody pays the price for getting Shuddha Bhakti, they can get. And it is very blissful and liberating. Like you see here, once you practice bhakti and go back to Godhead, like this Krishna and Balram are running into the forest of Raj along with cows and calves, one can eternally be with the Lord. Therefore we perform bhakti to get the company of the Lord, to get seva opportunity for the Lord. And bhakti is very rare. Krishna says extremely rare. Who can practice? Anybody who is sincere. Actually, you will see in Padyavali there is a verse which says, what was the vyas of Dhruva? He was just 5 years old. What was the qualification of Gajendra, who was only an elephant? What was the qualification of monkey, vanara, Hanuman? What was the beauty of Kubja, who was carrying a stick and with a hunchback she was walking? What was her beauty? In this way, you don't need caste, you don't need beauty, you don't need riches to go to Krishna. Anybody can practice. All we need is little sincerity. Yeah. And then where should we one practice bhakti? Prabhupada says in the purport, ISKCON. ISKCON society is the place where you can practice bhakti. Read that, one who
takes advantage of this opportunity to engage in bhakti, path of liberation immediately opens.
Yes. Mahatsevam dvaram ahur vimukte stamodvaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Which means, by, like you see in the picture, Mayadevi is pulling some people down. Others who do Mahatseva, they go up to Radha Krishna, they go. Yeah. Now we are coming to Utsahan. Prabhupada starts after this. Read it.
Utsahan, endeavor executed with intelligence and Krishna consciousness.
Prabhupada used to say there are two very intelligent people. One is called lazy intelligent, Brahmana. Another one is called active intelligent, Kshatriya. And Prabhupada used to say these two are the most intelligent people. Why? Kshatriya means he takes initiative, works hard and gets success. And Brahmana means he is very good in engaging others. He gives varieties of people different activities to do. And then sitting in one place, he can get the work done. So that's called lazy intelligent. So Prabhupada said, scientists have made all this, you know, mic system, the video camera, laptop, they are active intelligent fellows. And what do devotees do? Lazy intelligent. We just use it in Krishna service. We glorify Krishna with the same. Whatever. Actually, when they made this equipment, they would have never thought they want to serve Krishna. But we are benefiting them by utilizing in Krishna service, like the Prabhupada said. You know, that is lazy intelligent. Also, in any field, you need to be enthusiastic, Prabhupada says. See, here you can find students in the class. How into they are. Teachers will be delighted to see such students. Look at that man, office going man. How is he jumping? Isn't it? How enthusiastic he is. Similarly, we should be enthusiastic for both study and seva. See the boy holding Bhagavad Gita. He is enthusiastic for jignasa or eagerness to inquire about bhakti. And the other man is going and distributing Prabhupada books. That is also very good. Janma sarthaka kori kara para upakar. That means, you know, have entu for studying and assimilating and then also do para upakar for others. So in this way, that is utsaha. Yeah, read below principles.
Principles behind enthusiasm. Enthusiasm means action.
It should be action oriented. Prabhupada at the age of 70, what type of action he did? Going in Jaladuta with a couple of heart attacks and working so hard in America. So enthusiasm should be translated as practical action. Like the students were studying for IIT JEE, practically 4 or 5 years they slog hard like anything to get it to IIT. Similarly, somebody going for Olympics, they do net practice for several years. Somebody like Muhammad Ali, if he has to go for boxing, you know, he said that 6 months he avoids contact with any opposite sex because he has to build his energy to have a punch. So many people sacrifice many things. Singers, they avoid ice cream in order to have a proper throat to sing very sweetly. So similarly, anybody, enthusiasm means action. Like here you find devotees dedicating themselves to various services. Like, you know, bus van party, gardening for Krishna, to make flowers for Krishna, book distribution, Bharatanatyam. So many different activities. Also inviting guests home and giving them prasadam and preaching to them, you people. Auntie Sacharya has needless to say about them. And for whom we should show utsaha?
Always act for Krishna.
Krishna arte akila cheshta. Krishna arte means for pleasing Krishna, with the intention to please Krishna. Akila cheshta. Cheshta means pravritti with kaya vacha manasa. That is, so we should not do asat cheshta. Asat cheshta was the previous verse. Atyahara prayasa prajalpa niyamagraha jana sangshalo. That's asat cheshta. And here it is, Krishna arti akila cheshta. Akila means all our activities from morning to night should be utilized for Krishna's activities. How?
Under the direction of the spiritual master. Purpose, to attain perfection in bhakti yoga. No need to confine or narrow one's activity. Recognize Lord Krishna's all pervasive aspect.
Purpose is everything in this world can be utilized. You can use a pen, you can use a car, you can use a building. Use everything in Krishna's service, you say. Like here you say. And it's called Yukta Vairagya. Nirbandha Krishna Samadhi. Don't use anything for sense gratification, but use it all in Krishna's service. Like Prabhupada printed more than 100 books. Now Prabhupada's followers are building a big temple in Mayapur. This is actually Padayatra party. In this way, we can take everything in this world and connect it to Krishna. That's the point. Nothing is independent of Krishna's energy. So, utsahan means have enthu to use everything. Prabhupada used the example of dictaphone. How I am using dictaphone in Krishna's service, Prabhupada said. Like we are using this laptop now to show you a PowerPoint. So in this way, you can use everything in Krishna's service. So we covered utsaha now. And then next class when we come, nishchayat and dhairyat, these two we will finish in the next class. Okay? Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.